Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I just want to talk to you from my heart and give you a couple little things here. I'll read to you in just a second, but let's level with each other this morning. And you don't have to talk back to me. You can say amen if you want to. But if we're real all honest within ourselves, every once in a while we just get tired. We just get tired. Let's just be real about it every once in a while. I'm going to talk to you from my heart. You might vote me out at the end of the service. If you do, we've got the rest of the week lined up. They'll take care of it in VBS, all right? But every once in a while, we just go to church because that's what we do. Well, the amens are getting fewer as I keep talking. But we go to church because it's what we do. We was raised in the South, and going to church is just what we was brought up doing. It's going to the house of God. And sometimes we read our Bible just because that's what we do. After we got saved, somebody told us we're supposed to read our Bible, so we read our Bible. We pray sometimes just simply because things are not going good, so we revert to prayer. And you can say amen on that too. That's the reason we pray. And sometimes life, we just get overwhelmed in life. And I think sometimes people think that the preacher's different than everybody else, but he's really not. I got up the same way you did this morning. I got dressed the same way you did this morning. I didn't go as far to church as you did this morning, but I'm at church just like you are this morning. I listened to the singing just like you did. The difference in me and you is you come to listen to me and expect me to give you something this morning. And I'm going to try to do that. But the truth of the matter is this: we all get tired every once in a while, and we all ponder in the back of our mind, why do we do what we do every once in a while? Now, you can say amen and help me there. That's where we get every once in a while. I thought about this. What causes us to get tired? What causes us to every once in a while question why we do what we do? And why? And we can all be spiritual this morning and go, well, because God told us to. But the truth of the matter is, every once in a while, we just really don't feel that. And you said, preacher, I'm not saved by feelings. I know you're not saved by feelings, but we all got feelings, okay? You said, preacher, I'm not an emotional person. You are. Every one of us are emotional people today. And I've used this illustration. I use it, Brother Lloyd, every time I do a debrief, and I use this. You walk behind a vehicle today that's got a resitch stuck out and hit your shin on it, and you know what you're going to do? Don't tell me. Don't tell me what you're going to say. All right, we're in church. There's an emotion rises up, and that's what that is. That's an emotion inside of you, and it rises up in you. And people say things to us, any emotions, anger or hurt. We've all got feelings, and I thought about this. What causes our feelings? What causes our emotions sometimes to make us want to ponder the thought in our mind, do I even go back to church? Do I even keep teaching? Do I continue to lead the choir? Do I stand in my place and serve like I'm supposed to? This morning I had the privilege, and I loved it, man. I had a good time. This morning I stayed in the nursery a little while. And you say, did you? I really did. I stayed in the nursery a little while. And me and little Wren, man, we had the best time. She was laughing. I finally found somebody that understood me this morning. And I loved it. I really did. I had a good time in there this morning during Sunday school part of it. But we ponder, why do we go back and do it? Miss Regina, have you ever thought, well, I'm not going to go back to the choir. It's really not worth it. It's quiet this morning, but vote me out at the end. I'm just going to level. I'm going to be real with you this morning. I thought, well, what causes us to be that way? Well, and I'm going to read you a verse of scripture in just a minute. Here's some things that causes us to be that way. One thing is this: politics. Politics. Now, you might as well say amen, because it's that time of the year, man. It's time for the election, and they couldn't lock him up, so they tried to kill him. And God turned his head at the right time, and they couldn't do that, okay? It's politics. Man, we look at politics and we look at this country and we look at the condition of it. And Brother Cody, man, we'll in our mind go, what in the world? Is it even worth serving God? Nobody cares. The world's going crazy. Let me say that again. The world's going crazy. It really is. And if we're not careful, and you've heard me say this, I watched more news last Saturday evening than I have in 10 years. That's the truth. Matter of fact, I probably need to apologize to Brother Josh and Miss Tanya, because they was trying to have a young adult get together, and me and Brother Frost crashed it, man. We turned the TV on in the fellowship hall and started watching the news. We really did, and I really don't regret it, because hopefully we'll not see another moment like that in my generation again. But the more I watched it, and I don't follow the news on Facebook, okay, but I did get on Twitter some, and or X or whatever it's called now, and I was reading the different things, and Saturday evening and Sunday and Monday, I thought, this is a mess. This world, I didn't realize how crazy people are. So you know what I've done? I got off of the news kick real quick, because I realized politics was going to drive me crazy. Politics will bother us. What about this? What will cause us sometimes to wonder if we're really doing what we need to do? Should I go back? Can I say this? People. People. I think about this little feller that you see on the internet every once in a while, and every time I see it, I immediately think about you, Miss Beth. And he goes this, oh no. And his mama says, what? And he goes, people. People. And you that knows Miss Beth understands that. People. You know what people are? Problems. You know what you are? You're a problem. And you know what I am? I'm a problem. Now let's all just say amen to each other. You know what your wife is? She's a problem. You know what your husband is? He's a problem. You know what your kids are? They're problems. Why? Because our life is problems, man. People today will cause us to say, I'm never. How many people are sitting at home today because somebody done something to them at church and they've never went back? People. People. And can I just time out and run a rabbit right there? I'm tired of hearing the church hurt story. Everybody's been hurt at church. Suck it up. God commands us to love Him and to be faithful to His house. You know what? The other day at Arby's, they didn't give me enough French fries. But you know what I did yesterday? I went back. And you did too, didn't you, Brother Rodney? Got a half a pound of roast beef. Somebody say praise God. People will cause us. People will cause. And some people, they'll leave and they'll say, well, I'm just not getting fed. And I always say, well, can you explain that? Well, you know, such and such. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said you wasn't getting fed. 99.999% of people leave church today because of people. People cause us to wonder. You ever invested into somebody to have them turn their back on you and lie on you and tell all kinds of stories on you? People. But I thought about this, and I've already hit this a little bit. What causes us sometimes to question why we do what we do? Problems do. Our life is full of problems, man. We have good days. We have bad days. We have days that things are up. We have days that things are down. We have days that, man, we feel like we could conquer the world. And we have days that we don't even want to get out of the bed. Look what the Bible said. Let me show you something. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look with me what the Bible said in verse number 12. He said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." What things is he talking about? If you'll go back to the prior verses, he's talking about virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." He said, you know these things and you're already established in these things. There are some things that we know and we're already established in. But look what he says in verse number 13. Or look in verse number 12. "Wherefore I will not be negligent, put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." Verse number 13. "Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Peter says this, and if I can put it just real simple, he says there's some things that you know and there's some things that you're doing, but if you're not careful, you'll forget those things. He said, so I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm living, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. To stir you up. I thought about this, and I'm going to give you a little thought, and we're going to go home. I thought about this. In the wintertime, as a lot of you, we heat our house with wood. And we've got a water stove, and it's different. The kind that I've got is different than some people's. Mine's got a blower on the bottom of it, and it's thermostat controlled. And whenever the fire adrenal's down, the heat comes up, fire adrenal down, then that fan will turn on and blow over, and it'll light the fire back. But I remember when I was a boy growing up, we had a wood stove insert. Y'all know what I'm talking about, one of those old black wood stove inserts. And I remember that there was a fan that would blow the heat off of that into the house. But at night when we would go to bed, Brother Lloyd, it would get cold in there. And we'd wake up in the morning, and I'll never forget, we had this orange vinyl recliner, one of the very few things I remember about living in Rhonda, North Carolina. But we had this orange vinyl recliner, Brother Denny, and I would go in there, and I would wrap up in a blanket, and Daddy would go over there to the fire or to the stove, and he would open those two front doors. And when he would open those two front doors, inside of it, it would appear that there was no fire at all. And my dad would take some, what we would know as kindling, some very small pieces of wood, and he would put that in there. And then he would reach over. There was this little piece that stayed on the side of the stove. There was a little shovel and there was a little broom. And then there was this thing called a poker. Not the cards. A poker hanging on there. And my dad would get that poker out. I don't know if any of y'all understand what I'm saying. But my dad would get that poker and he would take that poker and he would stick it down into the ashes where it appeared that there was nothing there. And he would begin to stir those ashes. And all of a sudden, out of what appeared to be nothing, a little bit of smoke would start coming up. And Daddy would say, "Where there's smoke, there's fire." And he would stir those ashes up. And as he stirred them up, all of a sudden in the bottom of that, there was still a little bit of fire that was burning in there. And as he stirred it up, that fire would begin to blaze up again. It would catch that kindling up. He would throw a couple logs on it. And in just a little while, man, it was warm in the house. Let me tell you what happens to us along the way. Now that we're saved, and I'm primarily preaching to us for just a minute, every once in a while, that fire dwindles down in our life, and we allow the things of this world, politics, people, problems, to settle in on that, and we forget why we do what we do. So can I take a minute this morning and take the poker and put it in you and stir you up just a minute and remind you of why we do what we do. Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we read our Bible? Why do we go to the house of God? Can I remind you this morning? Every once in a while, man, we just want to quit. I'll say it again, and maybe you'll agree out loud this time, because in your soul you did. Every once in a while we want to quit. Every once in a while, matter of fact, every once in a while I'll say this to my wife: I wonder what it would be like to go to work Monday morning at 8 o'clock, get off at 5 o'clock, and come home and sit at the house. I wonder what it would be like on a Saturday to not have nothing to do because you work Monday through Friday. You say, well, you only preach three times a week. I wish that's all I done. Okay, and I'm just going to be real with you. I wish that's all. That is the fun part of it. And every once in a while, we just... So you know what God has to do? Brother Randy, he just has to remind us. He just has to remind us of some things. And every once in a while, we just need to take a trip back down memory lane and look at some things. I say, number one this morning, God, remind me of the day that you saved me. God, you say, preacher, have you forgotten? No, I've not forgot it. But every once in a while, it gets pushed to the back of our memory bank. God, remind me, can I just take a minute and tell you about that day? Can I do that? Is that okay? I know I'm preaching different this morning, and we've got visitors, and I've done come off the platform, but it'll be okay today. Can I just take a minute and remind you of that day? Can I tell you about it? It was 30 years ago yesterday, July the 20th, 1994. 30 years ago yesterday, I was 16 years old. I know y'all can't believe I'm much over 16 now, but I was 16 years old. I grew up, and I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord, so I might not even get past this point. But I grew up in a Christian home. I've never saw my daddy drunk. I've never saw my mama drunk. I've never experienced my mom and daddy in a big argument. I've never seen my dad beat my mom. May have saw my mom beat my dad, but I've never saw my dad beat my mom. Matter of fact, I'm just going to tell you the way I grew up. I've never saw my mom in a pair of pants. I grew up in a strict, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher's home. And you say, do you regret that? I don't regret a minute of that. Thank God I don't have a memories of mom and daddy fussing and cussing each other. All the memories I have as a boy growing up is my mom and daddy taking me to the house of God. Matter of fact, in 1989, I got to do something probably nobody else in this room's ever done. In 1989, I stood at the Berlin Wall watching them tear it down. There was three of them. You that knows history knows that. There was three Berlin Walls. There's one on the east side, one on the west side, and there's one in the middle. I stood there in 1989 and watched that. If my dad hadn't been a pastor, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I've been to Jamaica, I've been to England, I've been to Scotland, I've been to the Providential Islands, I've been all out west. And Brother Matt, every bit of it's been in the ministry as a boy growing up, and I'm thankful for that. But I'll never forget, we was having youth camp. I was 16 years old, And the only reason I went to church that night is because I was supposed to go to church. I'm sorry, I don't have no big, I was drunk and strung out on dope and Jesus come walking on the water. I was a good kid, man. I was mischievous. I got into stuff, but I was a good kid. I went to church that night because I'm supposed to go to church. Church doors is open. I was supposed to go. It's what I was raised to do. And number two, if I didn't go, well, Daddy would have come found me and drug me in and set me on the platform with him probably. I went because I was supposed to. And then number two, I went. This is when I was 16 years old, so don't judge me. It was youth camp. There was going to be over 100 teenage girls there that night. Okay? And I was going. Just be thankful I wasn't going because there was 100 teenage boys. Okay? I was raised to be different than that. Somebody holler, amen. Don't give me, I'm not going to chase that rabbit right there. It's okay when a teenage boy looks at a teenage girl and a teenage girl looks at a, that's all right, okay? It's okay. I think sometimes in our good fundamental churches, we get all, it's okay for them to make goo-goo eyes at each other and look at each other, all right? It don't bother me when I see my daughter look at a boy. Everybody okay? I went because all them girls was going to be there. Brother Joe Arthur was preaching a meeting. And that night, it got on. And if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Man, the glory fell. The youth choir got to singing. People started going to the altar. And I was sitting there and I thought, well, it's going to be a long service tonight. Same thing a lot of y'all's thought before. Y'all say amen, okay? I'm trying to level y'all this morning. It's going to be a long service tonight. And about 10 o'clock, there's something happened in that service. And you say, what was it? I was standing there. We was fixing to dismiss. And all of a sudden, something deep down inside my soul said, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. For 16 years, I'd been raised in church. I'd been brought up in church. But that's the first time, I'm sure God had probably spoke to my heart, but that's the first time I remember realizing Mama's religion wasn't going to take me to heaven. Daddy's religion was not going to take me to heaven. Are you hearing me? Daddy being a preacher wasn't going to take me to heaven. Me even teaching a Sunday school class some at 16 years old was not going to take me to heaven. The only way that I was going to go to heaven was to put my faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget that night for the very first time that I can remember. Man, it sounded off deep down inside my soul. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. And the longer I sat there, the more I stood there, the more I thought about it. And man, you know what happened? I ended up being convinced that I was going to die and go to a devil's hell. Boy, I'll never forget it. I got out of my pew that night and started down the aisle, and Darren Hester was standing in the aisle. I grabbed Darren Hester and I said, man, I'm lost. I'm going to go to hell. He said, do what? I said, I'm lost. I've got to get saved. He said, let's go back here in the adult men's prayer room. I walked back there and there was a thermostat on the wall. I'll never forget that night, man. I knelt down on my knees. I can't tell you everything I said. I can't tell you every word that came out of my mouth, but I can tell you this. When I got up from there, there was a peace inside of my soul, and I knew that I was no longer going to a devil's hell. And when I get tired and I feel like throwing in the towel, I just have to say, God, walk me back down the aisle where you touch my heart and you save my soul. Thank God I'm not going to hell today. Amen. Oh, Lord, remind me of the day that you saved me. Remind me of the day that you came to where I was at. Remind me of the day that you showed me my lost condition. Say, God, remind me. May we be stirred this morning by remembering the day we got saved. And I ask you this, do you know that day? Can you go back in your mind? Here's the only reason I figured out July the 20th, 1994. I figured out 1994 because I was 16 and I just done the math. Some of y'all don't even get that. But I done the math back then and realized it's 1994. And I found a, some of y'all don't understand this, I found a VHF of that night. And it was July the 20th, 1994. When you get tired, you know what you need to do? You need to look back at that day. You need to remember, some of y'all's testimony is completely different than mine. Can I tell you something about that day that I got saved? After I got saved, I discovered that, number two, it was a delight to serve Jesus. I said, God, remind me of the day you saved me, but remind me of the delight in serving you. I figured out that this thing that my dad had talked about, the joy of the Lord and serving others, I found out that it was really true and it really is a joy to serve Jesus. I remember when I got saved. I remember when I got saved. Man, it's 3 minutes till 12. The singer sung too long this morning. Both the choir songs had three verses. The special song had three verses. I've got an extra three verses this morning. Because there was two choir songs and one special. Two plus one at the Great Boonville Christian Academy was three. Watch this. When I got saved, can I help you just a minute? When I got saved, here's the way I looked at people. They needed Jesus. And it was a joy that He found me. And it was a joy that I could go tell them what He done for me. I want you to hear me this morning. I'm all for separation. I'm all for us being a peculiar people. I'm all for dressing right and walking right and talking right and living a clean life. But let me tell you something. When I got saved, I didn't look at people the way they dressed, the way they walked, the way they talked. I looked at them like this. Behind every face there was a soul. And I wanted to reach them for the glory of God. The longer we're saved, the more pharisaical we'll become. And we'll get... Brother Stan, if we're not careful, we'll get so holy that we won't reach some people. Now, I'm not going to go sit down at a bar and drink a cold beer with somebody telling about God. God help us. But you know what I can do? I can love them. I don't have to accept their lifestyle. But I can show them that serving Jesus is a joy. Some people, you see them and they're serving Jesus. And man, Brother Josh, their face is just so blah. Their life is just so blah. And I'm thinking in my mind, if I was lost, I wouldn't want that blah life. Man, serving Jesus is great. Yes, we get tired. Yes, we get weary. Yes, sometimes we want to throw in the towel. Yes, sometimes along the way, we question in the back of our mind, is it even worth it? But deep down inside, we know that it really is worth it. And that with the help of God, we really can make a difference. It's a joy to serve Jesus. It's a joy to live for Him. It's a joy to walk with Him. It's a joy to preach the gospel. It's a joy to play an instrument. It's a joy to sing, man. There's joy in serving God. God, remind me of the delight in serving you. And the delight, you know what, if you walk into your Sunday school class this morning with your head down, God help you. If you come in this week to teach a class, vacation Bible school, and your head's hung down, God help you. If you do a craft this week with your head hung down, God help you. If you serve a snack this week with your head hung down, God help you. These youngins need to see that serving Jesus is real and serving Jesus is great. There's no other life I want to live. There's no other thing I want to do, man. God, stir me up and remind me it's a joy. It's really a joy to serve you. It's really a joy. I say, God, remind me, I'm about done, of the day that you saved me. God, remind me of the delight in serving you. But I say this in closing. This is what I had to remind myself. God, remind me of the destination of sinners. You know that there really is a hell that burns beneath our feet today. There really is a hell. And there really is people that's dying, lost without God, that's going there. And if we quit, I read this. Miss Daniel, you start playing softly. I read this and I thought about the farmers in our church whenever I read this. It said this, Brother Will, it said that we will never reap a harvest that we don't sow or plant. We'll never reap a harvest that we don't sow or plant. In other words, if we expect grass to come up, Brother Matt sowed some the other day over at his place, and he's expecting this rain to cause that grass to pop up out the ground. But it would have never popped up if you hadn't sown it. After service this morning, I'm going to go home. I'm going to run to the funeral home, then I'm going to come back home. And I'm going to take some cucumbers. Let me back up and rephrase this. My wife or one of my girls is going to take some cucumbers, and they're going to peel them. They're going to cut them up. And they're going to put them in a little bowl with some vinegar. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to let them sit and get real cold. And tonight after VBS, I'm going to go home and partake of that. But you may tell you the reason I am. Because Brother Ted planted some cucumber vines or bushes. And they came up. And now I'm reaping what he sowed. You'll never reap a harvest you don't sow or plant. What I mean by that is this. I'm going to heaven, but I want to take somebody with me. And the only way that I'll ever be able to do that is if I don't get weary in well-doing. And I realize there is a harvest, but to reap it, I must first sow it. I must first sow it. In 2001, some of y'all wasn't even born. In 2001, our family, or not our family, it was Leslie and I. Matter of fact, the first time it was me. I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we had finished a meeting in Mississippi. Then went to Louisiana, and I was in a meeting in Louisiana. That was in 2001. Miss Leslie went back to Baton Rouge with me. And we stayed at the Howington's house. Brother Charles and Miss Danielle Howington. And I really would love to go back down there and see them again. They had a daughter. They had several kids. But their oldest daughter, her name was Madeline Howington. It's where we got the name Madeline from. Madeline was probably 13 or 14 years old whenever we met her. I started to leave, and for 4 years we went every year. I started to leave, and Madeline walked up to me in Howington, and she said, "I've written something, and I want to give it to you." And I said, "Okay." There's not a... There's not many weeks that go by that I don't read this. Here's what a teenage girl wrote that the Lord allowed our paths to cross. "My life is a story that others one day will read. I wonder what its pages will reveal about me. Could the people who all knew me all so very well say my life was chapters that was worthy to tell? Did I make a difference no matter what the cost? Did I show compassion to the hurting, to the lost? Did God use me as much as He wanted to? Or did I stand in His way and decide what I would do? Still, I'm writing each and every day, but I want God to pen it and choose what it will say. And just as I have a story, others have one too. I wonder what its pages will reveal about you. The truth, and let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Jesus is coming, or we're going to die. And we're going to stand before God. And the wealth that I may have gained in this life will matter nothing. The clothes that I wear will have mattered nothing. The name brands of the ties that I wear, you that knows me knows I love ties. But at the end of the day, Brother Matt, it'll matter not one thing. When you walk past my coffin one day, you're not going to look in at me because it'll be closed. But when you look at the picture, I've already picked it out, by the way. When you look at the picture sitting beside of my coffin, you say, why are you not going to have it open? I don't get mad at me. I've never seen a dead person look good. Okay? So I don't want people going, oh, he looks so good. No, he's dead. He's dead. And if you didn't tell me I looked good while I was alive, please don't look at my coffin and tell me I look good, okay? I'm not going to remember that. I've already got the picture picked out. And when they walk by and they look at that picture, they're probably not going to go, well, I wonder if that's a Jack Victor suit and a Jay-Z gallery tie. But they'll probably say something like this if they have enough decency to come by your funeral. That person right there meant something to me. We're all headed to the judgment seat. And when we get there, we're going to give an account to God for what we've done. And yeah, there's some times we just want to quit. We just want to sit at the house. And we wonder, is it even worth it? We try, and it seems like others don't care. Let's just be real this morning. And we think, should I even open my Bible again? Forgive me, okay, but I'm just being real. Should we even have vacation Bible school? Does anybody even care anymore? But may God just remind us today of the day He thought enough of us to send His Son to die for our sins. May He remind us of the day that He reached further down than we could ever reach up and saved our hell-deserving souls. We didn't deserve it. We deserve to be in hell. We're wicked. We're vile. We don't deserve the grace of God. But may God remind us of His loving kindness and Him being long-suffering to us and saving us. May God remind us that there is some along the way that we cross paths with, that maybe God let us make just a little bit of impact in their life and the joy that we had in doing that. And may God remind us there's some people that's going to die and go to hell if somebody don't sow the seed.